He said, she said cases present what is arguably the greatest challenge to our criminal justice system. We're just not built to succeed with these. The trial of Keith Montgomery exposes some of the ways in which we're broken, and I'd love for this trial to lead to a discussion about options that exist for finding clarity. Forensic evaluation can take many shapes, from psychological testing to criminal profiling to, in the case of Keith Montgomery, forensic lie detection. What I want to know is whether there already exist opportunities for clarity that we aren't implementing, and whether that can result in abolishing victim blaming by having universal protocols for questioning and reviewing complaints, or securing structures by which we can effectively protect the accused before judgment. Whatever one's personal agenda for clarity, clarity itself, the truth, is what we're all after. How can that clarity be found without corroborating evidence? How can we do that? There have to be methods, don't there? When one person's word is pitted against another's, how do we exact justice? Keith Montgomery stands trial in the sexual battery of Riley Page. With limited physical evidence, a new form of lie detection, and an investigation under investigation, the Montgomery jury must determine if the truth lies with the victim or the defendant. Arguments have concluded and deliberations are in progress.
It was Thursday afternoon, and I got a text from my girlfriend, Lila, asking me to meet her for a coffee. She said we needed to talk. I met her at the coffee shop on Colonial Ave, around 3. Before getting coffee, she told me she cheated on me the night before Eric. Eric is the guy she has a kid with. I mean, I was angry, understandably, but I'm not the kind of guy who makes things worse by yelling, being irrational. I left her. While I was walking around, I went to pick up a bottle of whiskey and I went to Riley's. Riley was a good friend. I texted some folks, but I didn't make plans. I went to Riley's and brought the bottle because I thought we could have a drink. I just wanted to see a good friend. I got to Riley's and she invited me in and was very nice. She poured us some drinks, maybe 3, and was really warm and started coming on to me. She thought now that this had happened with Lila, she and I could be together. So we're on the couch and she's flirting with me and basically wants to start things up. She starts coming on to me and, you know, Riley and I always had a good time, being so nice and everything. When she grabbed me and kissed me, I'm concerned because I don't know how this will impact things with Lila, but she wants it, so, you know, we hook up. I just really wanted to have a nice time with her. I actually think we had a really nice time. I left a note on her car the next day, asking her not to tell people about our hookup. I didn't want to screw things up with Lila, and that didn't make me look good. I honestly thought you'd understand. I really thought everything was cool, so I just left the note to make sure, and that was it.
Ms. Suarez, how long, roughly, did it take you to analyze Keith Montgomery's statement?
Possibly an hour.
Just an hour?
This work is mechanical. If I took time rereading and contemplating the things people write, that would defeat the purpose. I don't infer anything when analyzing. I listen only to what the person's telling me. Analyzing without inference is actually a speedy process.
Have you had time to review your analysis prior to your testimony today?
Yes, I have.
And do you stand by your notations and the conclusions you drew?
Yes, I do.
You analyzed the statement correctly by your own professional standard?
Yes, I did.
The full analysis was entered into evidence and displayed on a transparency in full view of the courtroom.
We're looking at a copy of your analysis, is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. I'd like you to walk us through this. Why are some words and phrases underlined?
I underline all sensitivity indicators.
I see. And what is this corresponding print in red?
Those are my annotations.
I see, okay. Let's start at the beginning. Please read the first sentence.
Sure. It was Thursday afternoon, and I got a text from my girlfriend, Lila, asking me to meet her for a coffee. She said we needed to talk. I met with her at the coffee stop on Colonial Ave. I underlined the word with here. In statement analysis, the word with indicates distance. If he was aligning himself or feeling close to this person, Lila, more likely he would say, I met her rather than I met with her.
I see. Please go on.
Around 3. I underline the word 3 because this is what's known as the liar's number.
What is the liar's number?
It's a phenomenon not fully explainable but widely recognized in statement analysis. When a person is narrating a story and they need to think of a number, there's the likelihood they will randomly select the number 3. Whether they're trying to think of a time, and say 3 o'clock, or they're trying to remember a quantity, such as I grabbed 3 items from the supermarket, or I circled the block 3 times. Whatever it is they need a number for in their narrative, there's a good chance they'll blurt out the number 3. This isn't conclusive, but given the number's propensity to appear in deceptive statements, analysts are trained to flag the number whenever it appears.
Interesting. Please continue with the statement.
Kevin says, before getting coffee, she told me she cheated on me the night before Eric. This is flagged. It sounds like a word is missing. Cheated on me the night before Eric doesn't make sense. When this occurs, it's flagged as sensitive. He goes on, Eric is the guy she had a kid with. Again, here the word with indicates distance, possibly a real or desired distance that exists between Lila and Eric. Kevin continues, I was angry, understandably, but I'm not the kind of guy who makes things worse by yelling, being irrational. First of all, he says understandably. This is flagged because he's qualifying and justifying his anger. Why does he feel the need to do that? The phrase, I'm not the kind of guy who makes things worse, is extraneous information. His directive was to explain what happened on the night of April 19th. Being derailed into describing what kind of a person he is isn't necessary or relevant. Is he stalling for time, trying to think of what to say next, or defending himself because there's a need to do this? We can't know.
I see. Go on.
The next sentence is, I left her. This is a strong sentence. In statement analysis, the shortest sentence is the best sentence. Suspects should always use first-person singular past tense. This meets all criteria for a strong, truthful statement. However, it's unclear what he means by left. This should be clarified. For example, does he mean he left her physically, or does he mean he left her in terms of the relationship? We can't know because we don't infer in statement analysis.
Please continue.
While I was walking around, I picked up a bottle of whiskey and went to Riley's. Firstly, I underlined the word wall, and here's why. The passage of time is a crucial element of statement analysis. Anytime a suspect is unspecific about time passing, we need to understand why. If a suspect's chronicling his movements and he says later on, or then, or during, or while, sensitivity is noted. How much time is passing? What's going on during that time? If there's a reason the suspect wants to skip over or be vague regarding any period of time, we need to understand why. So I underlined the word while and wanted to follow up on what he was doing specifically while he was walking around, where he went, etc. I also noted a missing pronoun before went to Riley's. Mr. Montgomery said he picked up a bottle of whiskey and went to Riley's. This instant might be innocuous because he used a pronoun earlier in the sentence and it could reflect his most common phraseology. However, it's possible the missing pronoun indicates a reluctance to put himself at Riley's apartment.
You said this anomaly might be innocuous. How commonly do you flag elements of a statement that are innocuous?
We have to look at a statement as a whole. In any given statement, there's bound to be some anomalies. We all speak differently. Some people get confused, some people's grammatical skills are very weak, and that can complicate analysis. However, if a person is of sound mind with average verbal skills and there's an overwhelming amount of sensitivity indicators in a statement, it begs the question, what's going on? What's in this person's mind as they're speaking? Sure, any flagged word could be innocuous, but it could also be the key to a vital element of the investigation. So all of them need to be noted and explored.
Thank you, Ms. Suarez. Let's pick up on the next line.
Okay, Keith continues. Riley was a good friend. I texted some folks, but I didn't make plans. Firstly, I noted he said was a good friend, past tense. Past tense indicates the friendship was over. Why? And did the friendship end before this encounter or since this encounter? When he said he texted some folks but didn't make plans, when is he talking about? Whom is he talking about? The placement of this information occurs after he said he arrived at Riley's. Was he talking with others and considering plans after this time, or did he jump back in the narrative? This portion is odd and vague. I decided to investigate this.
In order to consider the defense's argument, the question has to be asked. How influential was this analysis during the progression of Detective Suarez's investigation?
It was critical. The findings of one analysis guided the entire inquiry. Let me be specific. After Detective Suarez made a note on this analysis to check my client's cell phone text log, she issued a directive to subpoena that information the following day.
Does opposing counsel really expect you to believe investigators needed this analysis to direct them to seize Keith's cell phone? The cell phone of their suspect. Doing so is the definition of procedure. The day this happened is immaterial. The idea that Detective Suarez followed her statement analysis like a blueprint to her entire investigation is laughable. She would have wanted to review Keith's text messages anyway. Statement analysis is only one component of a thorough investigation.
I don't know how thorough an investigation can be in which only one statement is examined. That doesn't speak to a web effect finding. It doesn't speak to a team utilizing a series of resources. It speaks to one investigator's doubting one person's account while blindly believing the other.
This may be the first sexual battery trial featuring an argument the complainant was blindly believed. That does not happen. No one is scrutinized more than victims of rape. The fact is, Riley Page's account stood up. Her perineum was torn. She received a hush letter on the windshield of her car the following day. She was consistent in her account of what happened. The defense is trying to distract you with talk about statement analysis, but the truth is, that's a damn good investigative tool.
If that's true, why hasn't anybody heard of it? Why isn't it the standard following interrogations? I'll tell you why. Margin of error. Statement analysis is not conclusive enough to be used in an investigation.
The defense recalled Jillian Bourne, the investigation expert and author of the book, Lying, The Detections and Misconceptions of Our Greatest Vice.
Ms. Bourne, are you familiar with statement analysis?
Yes, very. I'm a certified analyst and have used it professionally on many occasions.
And are you also familiar with polygraphs and microexpressions?
Yes, I've studied both thoroughly and again, have used each professionally.
Thank you. In your opinion, is statement analysis the most effective form of commonly practiced lie detection?
I wouldn't say it's the most.
What technique would you say is the most effective?
It's not that simple. It depends on a variety of factors. For starters, everything depends on the analyst's ability. You might have heard it stated that polygraphs are more of an art than a science. In my experience, that's absolutely true. Polygraphs display a variety of biological responses, but the way those responses are interpreted is subjective to the polygrapher. The same is true of statement analysis and microexpressions. An analyst's experience, training, and natural ability will ultimately impact the effectiveness of his or her analyses.
What else might influence the effectiveness of an analysis?
The subject. About 1% of Americans are psychopaths. 4-6% of Americans are considered clinically antisocial. These people will inherently lie differently than a neurotypical person. There are a variety of neurological or other biological conditions that could impact a subject's ability to lie. There's simply no way to create a standard that will fit all people.
Is there anything else that might influence the effectiveness of an analysis?
Sure. Environmental conditions, state of mind. Social sciences are nuanced and frequently open to interpretation.
You're saying lie detection methods, including statement analysis, are frequently inconsistent.
Yes, that's true.
Ms. Bourne, are you a proponent of statement analysis?
Yes.
Would you say statement analysis can be an effective investigative tool?
Yes.
No more questions.
Ms. Bourne, please read the highlighted portion from this book, stating for the record, this is Defense Exhibit 124.
The most effective way to use any one of the aforementioned lie-detecting methods is to use them in conjunction with one another. Alone, any technique can be obstructed or misapplied, but a deceptive suspect will stand little chance at outwitting the scientific precision of several in tandem.
It was determined that statement analysis was the only form of lie detection applied during the Montgomery investigation. The problem with eating well is that it usually requires cooking, which takes up time that, realistically, I'd rather spend doing anything else. That's why Daily Harvest is the perfect solution. It's healthy, doesn't require any real cooking, and hardly takes up any time. Daily Harvest delivers perfectly portioned frozen superfood eats straight to your door, with your choice of smoothies, soups, breakfast bowls, or plant-based sundaes. Keep the cups in your freezer until you're ready to make one, then just add water or almond milk or whatever your cups want, and blend or heat. And it's ready. And you know you're eating organic, unrefined whole foods that you can actually see, like cocoa nibs, chunks of mango, whole raspberries, pumpkin seeds, and coconut meat. All the best things. In my opinion, Daily Harvest is the easiest way to meaningfully improve the way you eat. And anyone who tries it is helping out the show. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code DELIBERATIONS to get 3 items free in your first box. That's promo code DELIBERATIONS for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. daily-harvest.com.
I personally think that if it's not 100% accurate, then it is dangerous in investigations.
Is anything 100% accurate? Would we even be having, yes, you know, deliberations if
I'm 100% man?
But the statements that
we're not trying you on that.
But you said is anything.
The information that comes out of it though isn't saying it's 100% accurate.
No.
There's possible deception.
Yeah.
Is what came from the analysis, and so they aren't saying it's 100%. They're saying this is something to be considered.
And that is supporting or, suggesting the need for further investigation.
Yeah.
It's not drawing a decisive, well, we got the answer, moving on, you know, convict him.
But it could add, so what if it's wrong? So if it's only, you know, so if 15% of the time it's wrong, completely wrong, then 15% of the time it's going to lead the whole investigation on a whole wrong path, or make them think that this one guy, it could bias the entire investigation.
Yeah, maybe it'll bias them, but if it leads them towards evidence that then flatly contradicts, you know, their original findings, they're going to have to say, well, this wasn't accurate, or we were within the margin of error. But if it then leads to additional evidence that supports their initial hypothesis, then wasn't it a useful tool in the investigation's arsenal?
It just seems, I mean, it
depends
possible
on what they find.
Yeah.
It could lead them down a rabbit hole depending on how good the, what if it's a bad investigator and he gets hooked on this person's guilty because of the lie detector.
It just seemed in the testimony there was a lot of not certainty. It could be this, it could be that.
And it wasn't tested against anything. It was just one version of lie detection. I don't know. I'm not a police detective, but if she's going off the scientific method, or the scientific method of this, then test different things. I mean, what are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
Well, it is a scientific. It was explained to us that.
It's a social science. Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying is, in any science, I minored in sociology. Just when you're testing, major groups, you test more than one thing. I'm not just going to go off one.
But she isn't. She's using that, Detective Suarez was using that as a leaping off point for additional investigation, for additional questioning, for, you know, looking at phone records or, you know, finding corroborating evidence of, okay, 3 p.m., was he at this place, you know, at that time?
Sure, I get that.
It's not, she's not making a verdict or saying, all right, we have what we need here just based on this one.
But she's affecting the verdict, though,
yeah, exactly.
By talking about how, based on this, this not always accurate method.
So what's the alternative?
She could be influencing us, the jury, she could be influenced with a questionable method.
He said, she said, we're limited in terms of what we have to go off. So if we throw out this as well, then we're left with even more. Greater lack of clarity and uncertainty.
Didn't we just say we didn't want to go off statement analysis?
True, but if the statement analysis then leads to further investigation, which then corroborates the hypothesis
and creates evidence,
yes, that's
being
shown to us.
Fine,
but they should. But then they should just be concentrating on that evidence that's brought about, and not the statement analysis.
So
that's fair.
I've never been trained in statement analysis, and there was something that I heard in his statement that was not part of the analysis, and it was a sentence. That there were several points where he talks about meeting her, Lila, and Lila telling him about Eric, but there was a word missing. There's a little part where she says before we got coffee. So where were they? Because it almost sounds like they were in a different location because she told him before they met coffee, so were they even
at
the coffee place?
Or if it was told the night before, I had that same question.
Yeah.
Did you hear that also? Mm-hmm. And that was not part of the analysis, which was kind of weird for me because I heard something in addition.
Well, perhaps because maybe that would qualify as an inference by their definition. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you personally that seems like a bit of a jump in time and therefore a little suspicious.
Mm-hmm. So, based on that, we're all suspicious about his statement. After we've gone through the flowchart and looked at everything, we all have questions also about how deceptive he possibly was with his statement.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I completely agree that his statement is deceptive and there's problems there. The one that stood out for me was when he said he left her, right? He said he left her.
Yep.
Yeah, that was ambiguous.
But then when he said, I didn't want to screw things up with Lila, why? If you left her, why were you so concerned about screwing things up with Lila? But all of that doesn't even matter to me, that it's deceptive because it's not leading to something concrete enough for me.
What was the thing about the numbers? They said number three.
You said when you're searching for a number, you go for three a lot of times.
I mean, that was a little bit my reaction, but that wasn't the only thing they were basing this entire statement off.
Right.
It just happened to fall within the
three eggs.
Sound a little suspicious. Unless you're at the farmer's market, it sells three eggs.
Well, even before they mentioned that the three number, it did sound like he was making it up to me when he said it was like we had three drinks or something. It seemed like he was grasping for it, but even before they mentioned that three number.
And they met at 3 p.m. and they had three drinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a strange jump in time. I thought the discussion it's like, wait, so you went from coffee at 3 p.m. and then you got whiskey and then suddenly you're at Riley's?
While walking around.
While calling and or texting people.
Yeah.
Or was he doing that while he was there?
Yeah.
But, to get to the should lie detection be used in...
No.
It should be used to find evidence, right?
Mm-hmm. But again, we're doing this on one freaking person. Like, don't you realize, this entire conversation is on one freaking person, and that is annoying the shit out of me.
They also said that everything with Riley checked out. They said that the torn perineum, they said that the statements that she'd made were backed up by medical investigation. They didn't have the same, even though they did not use, and that does bother me, they did not use, because they couldn't use the same method with her of the statement analysis. Still, what they did find out checked out. It lined up. Her narrative...
Lined
so
up
far.
With what?
Well, it seemed truthful. It seemed that they didn't see
truthful that she was raped.
Well, that part obviously we're still not sure about. But her narrative, in terms of I had some discomfort or
the sequence of events.
The sequence of events seems to make more sense with her.
I just don't believe the accuracy. I feel like we're dissecting him way too much as opposed to her. Like literally, this entire conversation, her shit hasn't been brought up whatsoever. And I feel like that is a biased thing.
Well, she's not the one accused of a crime.
Well, she's accusing somebody of a crime, and we also need to consider that.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
So what part of her statement is dubious to you, or doesn't line up, or
it's
or
not
seems
that.
Suspicious?
It's just the fact of the matter is, if a kid's called into a principal's office, both people are in accusing another kid of a bullying, they're going to talk to both people and
well,
both
but
persons.
But they have talked
sure,
to her.
Sure, but they analyzed one person and.
But
just,
they already explained
sure,
how
sure.
they couldn't do that because
I understand
she
that,
was
but isn't
in
that
an emotional
convenient?
State.
Isn't that fucking convenient that it wasn't able to
it's,
happen?
It's unfortunate.
It's
but
unfortunate.
If you're suggesting that it was a willful
decision
on their
part. No, I'm not saying it was
on
purpose.
Part.
But what I'm saying is that we're dissecting one man's story and not dissecting the other because it wasn't able to happen. So to me, this is bullshit that we're even discussing this. Because it's biasing towards one person, period. We discussed that 5 minutes before this, or whenever we discuss this, but it's going straight to one person. And it upsets me because we're supposed to dissect both parties, and this investigative work is bullshit to me.
We're not done with
I understand
with discussing
that, but it's
the
upsetting
evidence.
Me. I understand that, but it's upsetting me because this entire past 10 minutes, we've done nothing but discuss his discrepancies.
But he's the one on trial. He's the one on trial.
Oh,
he's
and she's not?
Convicted. No.
We're
but he's the one that has offered so many discrepancies. I mean, we just said that the things that...
So every time you give a story, you give exactly pinpointed times and you don't have any discrepancies in stories
no,
you tell them?
No, but he's the one that's left, you know, a note on a windshield. He's the one that's being a little vague about times, and he's the one that's describing, you know, Riley as a good friend, which to me just doesn't line up with
well,
anything
I
we've
think
heard.
It's almost moot because at least in my experience when hearing this testimony, his testimony, the things that she picked up on with statement analysis were already the things that I was suspicious of or had questions about, mm-hmm. right? I think using our gut either way, it's leading us to the same place, which is that we need to know more, but there are some question marks.
I mean, it sounded like when she was doing the whole pronoun thing and all that, I don't know, she kind of lost me in terms of, I mean, I thought like this,
I feel bad
it started to sound kind of like a pseudoscience or just like way over, like
I feel bad for people who don't have
much.
Proper education because then they're fucked in this system. I mean,
well, like you said, grammar can mess it up.
Yeah,
so
if somebody
factors,
says, I'm fixing to go somewhere, okay.
Yeah, true, but she's also in this particular case dealing with a 21-year-old college student who seems to be of sound mind, so I don't think that's
seems
a
to
fit.
Be. And Riley seems to be the victim, so let's just think about that for
a second. I think it's different. You can pick up on patterns of irregular grammar that's just someone's tendency, and you can
sure.
sort of see that
yes.
exemplified over and over again, or you can have a total mismatch of facts and timeline and weird chronological. And I think that's what I'm more concerned with is just how he's jumping all over the place.
When it comes to other methods of lie detection, like polygraphs or something like that, you would have to have a reason to sit someone down and say, okay, we're going to use a polygraph on you. The thing with statement analysis is it can be used when someone is just making a statement. And so
seems
he
like that's
just
even
came
better, right?
to give his statement. I think so, because they're not
it's
under,
not
they don't know that it's happening.
Yeah. They don't have time to prepare for, you know, they're going
to
put the statement analysis
like
on
four
me
days to prepare for a statement analysis. Like if Riley had 4 days to prepare her statement, is that what you're talking about?
I think she had... 20 minutes or however long it was for her friend to convince her to go in because she was not planning on saying anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm glad we all know them so very well.
Hiring? Every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just hoping for the right people to see it. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Chelsea. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Chelsea. And give it a try. ZipRecruiter.com/Chelsea. The smartest way to hire.
Welcome back to KRTC Talk Radio. For those just joining, we're discussing the local case gaining traction in the news, the trial of Keith Montgomery. His is a rape trial between two co-eds. Out of respect, we are going to be referring to the victim as Jane Doe. On the line, we have Jordan Dietz. He is a professional statement analyst, which, as we now know, means lie detector. Mr. Dietz, how do you feel about the detective's use of the statement analysis on this case?
I think the detective applied the science very well. Funny, my office first became aware of this trial because of the increase in our traffic to our site and personal emails we were receiving about the case. So I followed the testimony closely, and by all accounts, the detective applied the science correctly. I may have caught more sensitivity than she, but none of her assessments were incorrect by my eye.
There's been controversy about the number of hours she spent studying. She took an online 8-hour course.
Yes, but that's not unusual. Most of the time, the science is taught in 1 to 2 day seminars. It can be learned in one full workday. It's a simple science, but it is effective. Personally, I think statement analysis should be applied to every statement in every investigation. Why not? I also think when it comes to accusations and denials, we shouldn't limit ourselves to statement analysis. I would like to see polygraphs, hypnosis, voice stress analysis, microexpression, and other nonverbal analysis. Personality disorder tests, brain scans. I understand some of this is cost prohibitive, but if we applied the full battery of tests at our disposal, shouldn't that give us a fuller picture to present to a jury? To me, this is, you know, part of a broader conversation. The burden to convict more sex offenders typically falls to the police in uncovering supporting evidence, but let's be honest. If there's no supporting evidence, and there usually isn't, it's a dead end. No number of police hours can change that. What we can change is the way we understand the counts, and that's what we need to be looking towards.
Okay, final question, Mr. Dietz. Do you think Keith Montgomery is guilty?
I don't know. But I definitely don't like him.
Statement analysis is a largely under-discussed lie detection methodology. Some speculate its application could transform law enforcement, and consequently the criminal justice system at large. Next time on Deliberations.
The word with indicates distance.
There are short-term emotions and there are long-term emotions.
That's not his fault!
Deliberations is created, written, produced, directed, and edited by me, Chelsea Cox, and it proudly airs as part of the Audio Boom Network. Today's cast, jury, Lindsay Purcell, Ross Denyer, Lindsay Fishkin, Kevin Bryan, Drew Phillips, and Lindsay Mallard. News and courtroom, Alyssa Ariel Perez, Laura Meadows, Lindsay Rousseau, Teresa Moore, and Edward Grant. Editorial advisement by Jessa Nicholson Getz from the incomparable podcast, Getting Off. Next week, we're speaking to someone with personal insight into the life and struggles of a sensitive crimes defendant. See you next week.